Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Thomas Provencelik. I'm an American, and sorry about the hockey game last night, but the U.S. lost to Czechoslovakia. And I live in Berlin and Hong Kong, back and forth. The title of my talk is Charge Manipulation of Flow in Nano Channels. Introduction. Water flow through nanochannels is found to be 2 to 5 orders of magnitude greater than predicted by the no-slip Hagen-Poiseuille equation of classical physics. This is the equation, you probably all know it. Now, if you modify it for the slip length V, you get this form, you go from here to here. But the slip lengths of 50 microns are required to reproduce the higher flow in 7 nanometer channels. And since the water graphene slip length is on the order of 50 nanometers, the required slip length is 1,000 times larger than that of non-wetting boundaries. Here's what I mean. You're comparing 50 microns to 50 nanometers. Now what this is saying is classical physics is not applicable. Now the background. In 2015, flow enhancement in nanochannels was shown, reference one, which is myself, by QM to produce charge, causing friction to vanish that does not occur in classical physics. QM here will be quantum mechanics. And the recent developments are that molecular dynamics, MD, shows charge outside nanochannels stops the flow. This is referenced to by Lee et al. You can take a look at it later. These references in this presentation will be up on the web after I get back to Berlin. Now, MD in reference 3, this is by Ko et al., shows that a vibrational charge increases the flow by breaking hydrogen bonds with the channel wall. And in all these applications, the problem is that the all they have is MD. They have no experimental definite evidence to confirm any of these simulations. And the purpose of me is to review and comment on these references and my own. Now, quantum mechanics versus classical physics. This argument has been going on for over 100 years, but basically, I want to discuss briefly the heat capacity of the atom, TIR confinement, electromagnetic confinement, simple QED, and charging. And I'll be taking two cases. CNT here stands for carbon nanotube and a hole in a membrane. And I'm going to talk briefly about how at this small scale you can produce X-rays inside the channel. Now the heat capacity of the atom. What you see here is a plot of the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts on the ordinate, and on the abscissa is the electromagnetic confinement wavelength, lambda in microns, and on the right is the KT energy of the atom. Now this white line going all the way across is classical physics. No matter what the confinement is, from the macro scale out here to the nano scale here, the atom is always assumed to have heat capacity. Quantum mechanics differs. This is the Planck law. If you plot it out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get this yellow curve. And you can see down to about 100 microns or so, the KT energy of the atom by classical physics and that of quantum mechanics are about the same. But below that, you can see that the quantum mechanical heat capacity drops very rapidly, and this is a log scale, so it's very rapid, and nanoscales are way over here. So what this means, vanishing heat capacity does occur, but you have to have electromagnetic confinement, which is submicron. You have to be below 1 micron. It's over here. TIR confinement. at this conference in 2015, I argued the confinement of photons by TIR in the surface of a body, if its refractive index is greater than that of the surroundings, TIR here is total internal reflection. But there's a problem. TIR is a macroscopic concept, and although valid at the macro scale, we're at the nanoscale. So the fluid molecules, actually what happens, the fluid molecules, before they enter the nanoshell, are normal atoms, but once they enter the nanoshells, they're placed under electromagnetic confinement by the size of the channel. The equations are very simple. F is the frequency of the radiation produced. C is the velocity of light. N is the refractive index of the fluid. Lambda is the wavelength, and I'll show you shortly. Lambda will be equal to 2D. And E here is equal to Planck's constant, H times the frequency F. Now this is the summary of what I've been talking about. Now the electromagnetic confinement. The atoms are confined at the nanoscale. This is a natural consequence of high S over V ratio. You don't have to do anything to the structure. It's natural. Here S over V is the surface to volume. And that what this means, with you have almost all the heat is deposited in the nanostructure surface. And atoms are momentarily placed under high electromagnetic confinement. And since nanostructures are submicron already, the EM confinement is submicron and the heat capacity vanishes. What this means is heat cannot be conserved by temperature. This may be a problem to some of you because in the macroscopic world, this is not true. But then you have to ask yourself, if so, how do you conserve the heat? You still have to conserve it. And some of you may have a different idea, but what I'm going to propose here is what I call simple QED. And what it is, QED here is quantum electrodynamics, but it's far simpler than Feynman's QED. And briefly stated, under the quantum mechanical restriction that the heat capacity of the atom vanishes, which I've just gone through with you, the heat Q absorbed in the nanostructure surface creates standing electromagnetic radiation, and it has a half wavelength, lambda over 2 equal to D. This is where D is the minimum dimension of the nanostructure. Here's what I mean. Here I show a nanochannel diameter D, heat coming in. This region cannot change in temperature. How do you conserve that? Well, what I'm proposing, you're going to produce a standing wave as you see here, lambda over 2D. And this is consistent with Planck's original derivation of black body radiation a century ago, but this standing wave here is not thermal. It is a non-thermal standing wave. Now, with that in mind, and since the diameter is so small, you can expect you're going to charge all the fluid molecules. And I'm going to present two mechanisms, what I call a carbon nanotube in water, and in a pore in a biological membrane. Both of these are really equivalent. You can do the pore in the biological membrane. You can extend that in physics to the carbon nanotube in water, and I'll show you that shortly. Here's the carbon nanotube in water. This nanochannel diameter D is shown here. Now, the only heat available is the KT energy in these water outside water molecules. So for carbon nanotubes having diameters 0.84 nanometers, right, in water with an index 1.3, the EM radiation at X-ray levels has a wavelength of 2.18 nanometers, and the Planck energy is given here, AC over lambda. This comes out to 0.57 keV, which is 570 electron volts. So the X-ray photon energy is three times this, and if you take the KT energy, all molecules, you can show you need around 5,000 water molecules around this nanotube to provide the heat to produce the single X-ray photon. Now, in a cylindrical slice of width S, you can argue there's a diameter here about this carbon nanotube of around 25 nanometers. Now, I show your turbulence because I treat this a little differently later, but you need to provide heat continuously. Now, the membrane pore, here I do the same problem for the membrane. Here I show a membrane in light blue, and that membrane has KT, there are water molecules in here have KT energy beyond a certain radius. And for X-rays and pores of membranes, the radius R2 is the boundary where the KT is greater than zero. Heat flows into the nanochannel from the KT energy, which is out here, removed from the carbon nanotube or the pore. And I just got done showing you that you need 50 to 100 microns to get beyond to provide that KT energy from the quantum mechanical plot. If you take the X-ray curation time tau, this is the energy divided by the flow rate. The flow rate is given classically by this relationship. If I had done this for two radii R2, 50 and 100 microns are virtually the same. And basically, what this is saying is this gives you the time. And for 570 EV X-rays, and taking KT greater than zero for these 50 100 microns, what you get is, and I took a thickness L of the membrane to be 50 microns, thermal conductivity of biological membranes is around 0.5 watts per meter of Kelvin. And by the way, this is close to that of water, which has a conductivity of 0.6 watts per meter Kelvin. So basically, this same argument could be made to water, to the carbon nanotube that I just went through. T here is the temperature, which I took at 300 degrees Kelvin. But the important point is that the heat flow into this nanochannel occurs in less than 10 femtoseconds, as you can see here. And this is sufficiently instantaneous to assure the X-ray transition and charging. The energy to create a single X-ray photon is not that high for one photon, for a single photon. But you have to put the energy in very rapidly, and for X-rays you need that deposition time to be less than 150 femtoseconds, which is, as you can see, very, very well met here at 10 femtoseconds. Now, the MD simulations, I want to mention briefly the programs, the model method, and the results. In the programs, the MD computer programs like LAMPS, this is based on classical physics again, not quantum mechanics. It allows the atom to have heat capacity to change in temperature that are simply invalid by quantum mechanics. In the literature, there are many classical MD solutions of nanochannel flow, but again, they're all invalid. And to obtain valid MD simulations, you have to modify those programs, the algorithms, to require the quantum mechanical effect of vanishing heat capacity. And in my case, I've used Alan Tilsley for many years. I simply modified the program for quantum mechanics. Here's the model and the method. I take 10 water molecules in a string, as you see here. And points P1 and P2 here are for visual references as the water molecules move back and forth along the x-axis. The Lehner-Jones parameters for water. The frictionless flow was simulated reducing epsilon by a factor of 100. All molecules have velocity 1 meter per second in a positive direction. Then I turn the charge on. Each of them has a charge of 1 electron. Now, which you can charge the molecules very quickly, but they're going to knock off electrons, and those electrons will recombine with the water molecule. So but that time for water, for the hydroxyl hydrogen atom, fluctuation is around 0.5 picosecond. And the time step in my solution was 2 zeros 1/5 of a second. So this is a short plot of that. So on my computer, I took it took 1.5 million iterations and less than 1 minute to do the simulation. But I simulated the charge coming off after 1 femtosecond. So every 1,000 iterations, I put a positive charge on the water molecule. And the results then are displacement, velocity, and string length. Here you can see the displacement. X here is in nanometers. This is where you start. And P2 here was on the left. P1 was on the right. And you can see the simulation shown here. The molecules on the right impact first, and then their vibration, and the one on the left hits later, as you can see here. The velocity perhaps is a little better. Again, the blue is when the molecule on the right gets hit by the charge. And you can see there are 10 pulses here because there's 10 molecules. And each molecule vibrates, as you can see here. And the molecule near it, the blue, underwent an oscillation of 40 gigahertz in the simulation. And the string length, this is important because the length of the string will vary depending on whether it's under deceleration or not. So here you see the maximum and minimum, and the max here is, you can see, is shown in this plot. It's hit in the rebound, as here was the blue point that I showed you earlier, and this is the min. So this is the min, this is the max. I'll review and comment. Now, based on classical MD, the prevailing view is the stationary charge outside a nanochannel blocks single flow, depending on the orientation of the water molecules, and vibrating charge increases flow as hydrogen bonds are broken. I believe, in my opinion, it's inconsequential to the quantum mechanical charging by X-rays. And by quantum mechanics, all the hydrogen bonds are broken, atoms charge. The stationary charge blocks the flow by Coulomb repulsion of all atoms. And the increased flow is caused by the reduced friction from Coulomb repulsion of all atoms and the channel wall. And the conclusions then are, MD simulations of water molecules through a carbon additive will form a quantum mechanics that precludes conservation of heat by temperature, and heat is conserved by producing X-rays. The charge of water molecules in Coulomb propulsion produces frictionless flow, and this gives you the Bernoulli equation. Under high electromagnetic confinement, the free electrons recombine with the charged atoms in my simulation every femtosecond, and to produce electron neutrality, and then analyze once again. It's back and forth all the way as long as you're within the tube. And the CN2 diameter less than 1 nanometer is small enough to create X-rays and turbulent strength of water molecules having KT energy from the surrounding to the surface to be expended in creating X-rays. But you could have easily done this with my second model with the nanopore. If you just replace the membrane, the biological membrane, with water, you get the same answer. And the heat flow then, this is, it raises, you can reach the X-ray levels in about 1/10 of a second, which is very important because you have to be less than 150 to produce the X-ray. And with regard to all this work, experiments are needed to verify the MD simulation. And that's all I have, and this is my email address and homepage. You can look on the homepage, you'll see this presentation, and I'll have an audio of this presentation there for you as well. Well, thank you very much.